The Way of the Wise Art, being given by John Rawson in Victoria, Australia. Level 3, The Mysteries of the Order of Melchizedek. Module 0, Behind the Mirror. Welcome once again to The Way of the Wise Art. I imagine you sitting comfortably listening to the CD and opening the Book of the Wise Art to page 0. You will notice that there have been two changes in the images from level 1 and level 2. In the centre, the image of the mirror has disappeared. It has been replaced by a much more complex image taken from the realm of alchemy. The images created from alchemy reach deep into the foundations of human consciousness, and in this case, the picture unpacks what lies behind the mirror. The verse for Module 0 says, "The wise art seeks to study man, but what is odd, through viewing man, arrives at knowing God. By eyeing each external action as it comes to pass, confronts himself, the world's his looking glass." The theme of Module 0 is always about viewing humanity. We will be confronting throughout Module 0 this question: what does it mean to view humanity? The second change in the images will be found at the bottom left-hand corner. The old version of the Fool has been replaced by a symbol that looks vaguely mathematical. A circle is quartered by a cross. Another small circle sits at the centre of the cross. The top right-hand quadrant of the large circle contains a curve. This curve is reflected in the bottom left-hand quadrant. Just as the new image in the centre of the page unpacks the concept of the mirror, so the new picture in the bottom left hand of the page unpacks the meaning of the number 0. There is one more graphic, a series of half circles placed under the central picture. This image forms a link between unpacking the 0 and unpacking the mirror. In level 1, module 0 was titled Before the Beginning. In level 3, we will discover what came before the beginning and how we were created by it. Level 3 of the Wise Art concerns the mysteries of the Order of Melchizedek. Now, any human being can elect to enter the mysteries of the West, the subject of Level 1. Everyone is welcomed into the mysteries of Christ, the theme of Level 2. When we come to Level 3, however, we find that these mysteries are only open to certain souls. Why this may be is, of course, part of the understanding of the mysteries of the Order. The characteristic of those who are attracted to the Order of Melchizedek is that they are priestly souls. We shall have to discuss precisely what is meant by the word priest, But for the moment, let us begin by talking about Melchizedek and his order. The name Melchizedek is known to us from four ancient sources. The earliest of these are in the Old Testament and the New Testament. There is also a writing called Melchizedek, found in the collection of Gnostic scrolls excavated from the site of Nag Hammadi in 1945. Unfortunately, the state of this scroll is fragmentary and difficult to decipher, so our best testament to Melchizedek comes from the Bible. Here, Melchizedek is named in three places. 1. The book of Genesis, chapter 14, verse 18, where we read that Melchizedek, king of Salem and priest of God Most High, gives gift of bread and wine to Abram, who has just been victorious in a great battle. 2. Psalm 110, verse 4, where we read, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." 3. The book of Hebrews, chapters 6 and 7, where we discover that Jesus as Christ has become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We also discover that Melchizedek is without father or mother. We can then say that the order of Melchizedek is characterized by three important signs. Firstly, the priest give gifts of bread and wine. You will remember that Jesus in fact blesses bread and wine at the Last Supper, which is the foundation event for our Mass. Secondly, the priesthood is forever. That is, once ordained, the person will act as a priest for every incarnation thereafter. Of course, this doesn't necessarily mean that they will be a church minister, but they will carry out the work of the priesthood within each life. Lastly, the high priest of the order is Christ. I want to make these three aspects of the order clear. If you Google Order of Melchizedek, you will certainly find many groups and societies who have adopted the name, but which do not accept that Christ is the high priest. An individual comes into contact with the order. Firstly, because on the soul level, they have an association with the order. And secondly, because Christ is working within the soul. In order to discover the significance of Melchizedek, and hence also the significance of Christ as high priest of his order, we need to return to the beginning. But what beginning? Do we need to return to the incarnation of Christ? Perhaps to the appearance of humanity on this planet? Perhaps the creation of the earth from cosmic dust and debris? We shall take our cue from the verse. "Man, therefore, seek not God to scan the proper study of mankind is man." Our starting point is there for the origin of humanity. Let's take a look at that word origin for a moment. It begins with an O. This is fitting because O is the numerical symbol for zero. Is this a coincidence? Of course, from a spiritual point of view, there is no such thing as coincidence. Everything in consciousness is joined to everything else by invisible, impalpable strings. Here is another coincidence that is not a coincidence. In mathematics, the word origin has a technical meaning. It is the point where the x and y axes of a graph intersect at zero. You can see an example of this in the picture at the bottom left-hand corner of the image page. The zero, or the O, for the word origin, is placed where the two axes intersect. When we say we are looking for the beginning, a mathematician would say we are looking for the zero point. There are several representations of zero on this page. The circle in the top left-hand corner of the page to start with. Then there is the zero-shaped egg in the image at the top right-hand corner. Then there is a zero symbol and a partial zero in the shape of the sun in the tarot card at the bottom right hand of the picture page. There are quite a few other zeros on this page too. It appears that to proceed, we need to deal with a great mystery, the mystery of zero. For 21st century consciousness, there seems at first to be no mystery about the number zero. Zero is just the beginning. It is where numbers start. In fact, the idea that numbers begin with zero is quite recent in history. The Greeks, who were very good mathematicians, decided that numbers began with one. Historians have discovered that actually the first use of zero was about 300 BC. Before the Babylonian writers invented this symbol, you couldn't tell the difference between 1, 10, 100, and 1,000, because each of those numbers would just be represented by a 1 followed by space. A symbol for zero was also helpful in differentiating between a number like 254 and 2054. A symbol used like this is simply a placeholder. It was not until about 628 AD that an Indian mathematician named Brahmagupta decided that zero was a number and could be used like other numbers to add, subtract, and multiply. I'd like to take you on a little mathematical journey. We're quite used to using zero like a number. If a batsman is bowled first ball, he or she has made zero runs. If we have several batsmen who make zero runs, their total contribution to the score is still zero. If someone gives us $50 and then takes $0 back, that leaves us with still $50. Multiplication is really repeated addition. If we have a pile of 10 apples and we multiply this pile by 3, that means we have 3 piles of apples, that is 30 altogether. Multiply by 5 means that we have 5 piles of 10 apples, and so on. Multiplying by 0 is easy. we take our original pile of 10 apples and we multiply by 0. This means that we have 0 piles. Yes. All of a sudden, all our apples have disappeared. Any time we multiply any quantity by 0, we get the same disappearing trick. 0 times anything is just 0. That brings us to division. Division is a problem. As an experiment, let's try dividing the number 1 by smaller and smaller numbers. 1 divided by 2 is 1/2. 1 divided by 1/2, however, is 2. 1 divided by 1/5 is 5. 1 divided by 1/10 is 10. 1 divided by 1,000th is 1,000. And so on and so on. 1 divided by 10 million will be 10 million. You can see what happens. The smaller number we divide by, or the closer we get to dividing by 0, the larger the result. If we divide by 1/10 millionth, which is a very small number, we get a very large number, 10 million. An early mathematician decided that 1 divided by 0 was infinity, but then we have to answer another question: what is infinity? Since a picture is worth 1,000 words, we have placed this particular picture in the bottom left-hand corner of the page. Now, this is a very magical symbol, for it transforms numbers into an image. It represents what happens when we divide 1 by different numbers. The horizontal line is what mathematicians call the x-axis. The vertical line is the y-axis. The curve is the result of dividing 1 by different numbers. Numbers along the x-axis are the divisors. Numbers up the y-axis are the result. The curve is the result of all these divisions. As we make the x numbers bigger, then the curve gets lower and lower because the y numbers are getting smaller and smaller. This makes sense because we already know that the larger the number we divide 1 by, the smaller the answer will be. Notice that the curve never touches the x-axis. This is because no matter how big the number we use, 1 divided by that number will never be 0. The mathematical language says, as x approaches infinity, y approaches 0. Note this cunning use of language. We only approach, we never actually arrive. On the other hand, as the x numbers get smaller and close to 0, the y values increase more and more. Notice that here also, the curve starts to approach the y-axis, but never ends up touching it. The curve actually starts up again on the other side of 0. That is the curve in the bottom left-hand corner of the graph. And the mathematical name of this curve is a hyperbola. The mathematician would put it this way: as x approaches 0, y approaches infinity. What can mathematics tell us about x actually being 0? 1 divided by 0? Well, they've got a funny way of talking about it. Mathematicians call this a discontinuity. According to the mathematicians, division by zero creates a discontinuity. Zero and infinity are closely linked. Isaac Newton, using his new invention of the calculus, was able to prove that the area under the hyperbola, this graph that we're looking at, was actually infinite. There is another way the discontinuity of zero can be represented. Look at the series of arches underneath the central picture. These arches represent a moving zero. The best way to think of this is to imagine that we are holding a bicycle, and on the edge of the front wheel, we have placed a light. We darken the room, so we can watch the light as we slowly wheel the bicycle forward. What is the path of this light? Let us say that we begin with a light on the wheel just above the ground, say at the 6 o'clock position, and we move slowly forward. Where does the light go? It begins to move up with the wheel until it reaches the highest point, and then it descends until it reaches the ground. Of course, it's also moving forward in this time. So when it reaches the ground, where is it going to go now? Well, it can't go down, it can't go underneath the ground, so it must start going up again. By the time the light has reached this point, the whole wheel has moved forward exactly one diameter, so the light has actually made a semicircle. And having made one semicircle, it now begins to move up on a second revolution. You can try this by taking a coin and fixing a pencil at one point of the coin. Roll the coin across a piece of white paper. You will find that you create exactly the series of semicircles shown on our image page. Mathematicians have given this particular figure a name too. It is called a cycloid. Once again, zero has created a discontinuity. This discontinuity is the moment between when the curve is going down and when it starts to go back up again. You may be wondering why all this concentration on simple mathematics. The reason is that the discontinuity of zero is the key to our evolution. It is possible to develop a certain type of clairvoyance which can look back into the evolution of humanity. If we have this gift, we can look back to the appearance of humanity in physical form, and before that, when we were in spirit in what the Bible calls the Garden of Eden, then everything comes to a close. Like the discontinuity in the cycloid, there is a time when we can perceive nothing. Then, if we continue back, another enormous period of evolution comes into view. Again, we follow this to its end, and again there is a time of silence and darkness. Altogether, we can find precisely 4 cycles of human evolution before we come to a final discontinuity beyond which we can go no further. This does not mean that there is a final beginning to the universe of consciousness. Rather, that human evolution has a beginning. In the ancient teachings, students were trained to enter these different cycles of evolution through doorways. The 4 arches below the central figure represent 4 doorways which we may enter to view the mysteries of human evolution. In the ancient temples, these doorways were created and decorated with particular symbols. For our purposes, we will simply say that over the first doorway was a black sun. The second doorway bore the image of a sun that radiated light. Over the third doorway, the moon was depicted, and over the last doorway would be found the symbol of the dark moon. If you would turn your attention to the central picture, you will find these four symbols inscribed within the image. The male figure stands upon a sun which casts a shadow. This is the dark sun. The radiant sun is shown above this. The moon is found next, moving in the clockwise direction, and if we keep on moving, our fourth and last symbol is the dark moon. In your imagination, see yourself as standing before an archway. Above the arch is sculpted the image of a black sun. Beyond the arch is only darkness. Walk through the doorway, it vanishes behind you. We are in total and complete darkness. This initial period of evolution we could call the time of the black sun, although modern occultists have named it the old Saturn period. In this darkness, we hear nothing. We see nothing. Very, very gradually, we begin to feel a sound. It's a very deep note, like the deepest note of an organ that reverberates through our entire being. With this note, very gradually, something else comes into perception. What we perceive is not a shape, nor a visual image. It is a warmth. We understand that this warmth is a life force, a life energy. High spiritual beings work for an eternity through what seems to be something like a globe of warmth. Gradually the globe becomes differentiated, features, shapes, heights, and depths appear. An understanding comes to us that we are witnessing this creation of the seed of the human physical body. This body is not a material creation. It is a spiritual creation. It is the origin of the human being. We have reached our zero point. Gradually, the vision fades into nothing again. We have reached the discontinuity. We turn and find our doorway in front of us and return to our normal consciousness. We turn now to the second doorway. This bears above it the image of the radiant sun, and we shall call this the old sun period. We step through the archway and again find ourselves in darkness. Before us, the globe of warmth from the last cycle of evolution appears. For a while nothing happens, then there is a sound, like a very high silver bell. A being of light dives into the midst of the globe, sacrificing itself, or so it seems. Then gradually at first, a gleam of light appears in the depths of the globe. Faster now, the light spreads, transforming the darkness into first a globe of glowing luminous light, and then this too is transformed into the fiery radiance of the sun. This is not the physical sun, which is the center of our physical solar system. It is a radiance of spirit. The shapes which had only just been defined in the last cycle of evolution are now being taken and shaped. A figure who appears to be made of fire walks through the radiance. Wherever he touches, life appears, for we are watching the creation of the etheric body of humanity. Other spiritual beings enter into this realm, which we call the old sun realm. Battles are waged, divisions occur, but the figure of light who ignited the globe at the first gathers his creation under fiery wings. We come to an end. We have reached the second discontinuity. Darkness has returned, and we too must return through the waiting doorway. Our next doorway bears the emblem of the full moon. It will give us entry to the old moon period of evolution. Again, we enter. Quickly, the impression of the first cycle of evolution is placed before us. This is succeeded by a swift recapitulation of the second cycle, the old sun period. A sound like a huge gong reverberates. A new globe appears before us. This is blue because it is covered in water. We understand that this also is not a physical representation. It is given for our understanding. We move closer to the globe and enter the watery world. A vast silence permeates it. Humanity has become differentiated to the point of separation. Here we have the form of something like enormous marine plant organisms. We are anchored to the seafloor and are fed by the nutrients that float within the waters. A light orbits this watery planet. As it rises, the plant bodies turn towards it. They follow it in its journey across the sky until it sets, and there is a time of darkness before the next rising. We are seeing here the creation of the astral body, the body of response and movement. Our consciousness at this stage is something like a very deep sleeping state. Once again, certain spiritual beings work upon us in this cycle. We could call this cycle the old moon period. There is a difference between the beings who worked to create the physical bodies and the etheric bodies in the first two cycles. These beings are represented by the male figure on the left of the central diagram. They are imbued with the creative forces of the cosmos. The book of Genesis calls them the Elohim. The beings who work through us and upon us in the old moon period are developing abilities to respond. receive, and reflect. They are represented by the female figure on the right of the diagram. Other spiritual beings enter into our world of this epoch. They wish to wrest control away from those who have guided our evolution so far. They would make us part of them, an aspect of their godhead, so to speak. Again, there is a conflict. There is, as the book of Revelation says, war in heaven. Some of those beings who mount the attack are cast down from their spiritual heights and become also part of the very material of our astral body. Peace returns as the cycle draws to a close. Gradually the vision fades into the darkness, and we return again through the door. We come now to the last door. The symbol of this door is the dark moon, the final symbol in our diagram. This is our epoch, the incarnation of the earth as we know it. We shall not enter this door just yet. This we shall reserve for a later time. Let us reflect instead on what lies behind the mirror. When we stand in front of a mirror and look, what is it that we see? Firstly, we see our physical body with its gender and many other physical characteristics. Then we observe that we are alive. Hopefully, we are also standing on our own feet. Life is a product of the etheric body, and so is the ability to stand erect. We may look deeper and see how we breathe in and out. We may observe ourselves fidgeting or moving, perhaps becoming impatient with this exercise, all aspects of the astral body. By looking behind the mirror, we come to understand that everything we see has been created by spirit. Even our physical body, which one day will return, as the old burial service would have it, as dust to dust, was created by spirit in the first period of evolution as a spiritual body. The same applies to the etheric and astral bodies. Look again at the central picture. The symbols of the epochs are placed outside a circular band of stars. The stars symbolize the multitude of spiritual forces which worked on the various bodies over the four cycles of evolution. The male and the female figures represent two particular energies within these forces, the creative and the receptive. The figures embrace a world globe, although there are no familiar continents engraved upon it. This globe represents the gradual differentiation of the globe of warmth in the first period. The triangle inside this globe represents the formation of the etheric body. The square inside the triangle depicts the formation of the astral body. Finally, we come to another circle, another zero, at the center of the globe. This circle represents what is given in this particular cycle of evolution. The circle, as we have noticed in previous modules, symbolizes the Godhead. Its placement here indicates that something of the divine is bestowed upon us in this evolutionary period. This brings us once again to Melchizedek and Christ. We have already met the term Elohim. This is the Hebrew word for God, used in the first chapter of Genesis. There is a slight problem in our normal translation because, firstly, Elohim is a feminine word. So at the least, the first line of Genesis ought to read, "In the beginning, the goddess created the heavens and the earth." Worse still, to a traditional theologian, Elohim is plural, so we should correct our translation once again. In the beginning, the goddesses created the heavens and the earth. The Elohim are those creative forces who have been with us from the beginning of our evolution. They were there in different forms in each prior cycle, and will be there when we venture through the fourth door to discover a story of creation in this cycle of evolution. Where is Melchizedek in all of this? The being named Melchizedek is in fact featured on the page. Let us follow the images at the four corners of the image page in sequence. We shall begin with a circle in the top left-hand corner. In previous levels of the wise art, we have said simply that this is a representation of God. And now that our Old Testament definition of God is unraveling, we will simply say that the circle represents the spiritual beings who have been part of our evolution in each of the four cycles. Let's move to the second image in the sequence. This shows a man preparing to cut open an egg with a sword. This is a depiction of Melchizedek. In many ancient cosmologies, the universe began as a cosmic egg. This egg then hatched and produced the creative forces which shaped the cosmos. In one of the Greek mystery traditions, the Orphic Mysteries, the egg was called the world egg of Kronos. Kronos means time. So time does not exist until the egg is broken open. In mathematical terms, we might say that the function of Melchizedek is to break open the discontinuity of the zero. Melchizedek is that aspect of the Elohim whose function it is to begin the new cycle of evolution. That is why he is without father and mother. It is also why he is king of Salem, that is, king of peace, for he comes from the highest spiritual realms. He is priest of God Most High, for he is an agent of the highest spiritual forces. There is another aspect of Melchizedek to consider. In the book of Revelation, John has a vision of one who calls himself the first and the last. This is another description of Melchizedek. Because he initiates the new cycle of evolution, he is the first. He will also close the cycle of evolution. So he is the last. Melchizedek then represents the spiritual forces which open a new cycle of evolution and then at the end will close the cycle. That leaves open the question of why, if Melchizedek inaugurates a cycle of development, he appears to Abram and gifts him bread and wine. This matter is bound up with the evolution of the current earth incarnation, and we shall discuss it throughout later modules. We continue round the four images. We now come to the tarot card, the Fool, card number 0. Here we see a depiction of the innocent human soul. It is about to descend into incarnation. Originally, as we know from level 2, humanity existed in the spiritual worlds. The Fool is depicted balancing on the edge of a precipice. This is an allusion to what theologians have called the fall. It is indeed a fall from spirit to incarnate into the physical world. The soul carries over its shoulder a small bag attached to a staff. In the bag is the gift of the I Am, which the soul has yet to open. The Fool is clothed in a tunic decorated with leaves and flowers representing the etheric. The astral, in the form of the little dog, is associated with the soul, but will not become a part of the soul body until the soul actually enters into physical incarnation. We move on to our final picture, the quartered circle. Here we have the mystery of zero unpacked. Both zero and infinity are contained within the same symbol. The quartered circle represents our existence in the physical body. Here we have the circle of spirit broken by the cross of the physical. And yet, at the very centre of the physical, we encounter once again the circle of spirit, the origin, at the centre of our being. The symbol of the quartered circle, however, has another significance. The ceremony of the Mass is a means of uniting the consciousness of the priest with the order of Melchizedek. We shall expand on this to a much greater degree in the modules to follow. Just for the moment, notice that when we commence the Mass, we do so with the final symbol. We make the sign of the cross and surround it with the circle. This gesture communicates to the spiritual worlds that we are physical beings, the cross, but come from spirit, the circle. In the action of making the cross and the circle, we stand for a moment in the place of Melchizedek. Like him, we open a door for the higher spiritual forces to enter into our sacred space. This gesture is also the last action of the Mass. So it is the first and the last. As the representative of Melchizedek, we prepare the world for the new influx of spiritual energy that will transform and reshape us into something higher. We too, in our own way, are the initiators of a new epoch in consciousness. As the music returns, mentally draw the cross in front of you. Now surround it with the circle. In your mind, see the cross opening from the center and dissolving away the inside of the circle. As this happens, perceive that the circle has now become a window, and through this window flow the energies of the hierarchy, the power and the love of the angels, archangels, thrones, dominions, Argai, mights and powers, cherubim and seraphim, and all the company of spiritual worlds. Experience the love of these being for our world, for all who suffer, and the assistance they give to each soul who has made the decision to choose the real over the unreal. Love over fear. Light over darkness. We recall the final lines of the verse of Module Zero. Unseen he passes, footsteps lightly trod, for no one sees the wizard seeing God. In the final level of the Way of the wizard is the priest. The priest, unseen, takes on the task of seeing beyond the limitations of physical existence into the spiritual worlds, and through this action becomes an open channel for the power of God to flow into human consciousness. May we contemplate this awesome task in our prayers and meditations until we meet again in Module 1. So shall it be.